Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, the lines are already long out in St. Cloud, where former President Donald Trump will be speaking later this evening. These people start lining up at 8 o'clock this morning. I was watching the reports on Channel 4, WCCO-TV, our sister station here in town, and they were showing the live shot was showing the line, and it was already long. People were excited. They were happy. They were festive. They were talking to them, and they couldn't wait for the doors. Don't even open until 3. But they, you know, some people wanted to be the first ones in line and the first to get in there. The crowd is electric, and everybody is excited who's there, who's lined up to see former President Donald Trump. His running mate, vice presidential candidate, who's been, you know, very controversial this week with some of the statements that he's made about women. J.D. Vance is at a private fundraising event, both in Minnesota today. They say they can flip this state and turn it red. I need to find out from an expert if he thinks that's possible. And so the person that I go to and call on for political advice, and who's been on this show several times, a friend of mine, Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, is joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. So, Brian, what are the odds? KSTP's poll just came out yesterday, puts Kamala Harris 10 points ahead of Donald Trump, but he is here today drumming up support.
First of all, Shaletta, thanks for having me on. Last time I was on your show, somebody tried to assassinate Trump, so I'm a little nervous about saying too much in case there's any correlation there. But I mean,
it was moments after you were on the show. It was like we got off the line, and the next thing you know, we got breaking news.
Yeah, pretty much everything we said out the door after that.
Out the door. Out the door.
Out the door. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think that if President Biden would have stayed in the race, I do think Minnesota was very much in play for Trump and Vance in 2016. When Hillary Clinton was the Democrat, Trump came extremely close to winning Minnesota with spending almost no time here. I do think that the substitution of Vice President Harris makes Minnesota more out of reach for the Republicans, but I know that Minnesota is something that Donald Trump always saw as a little bit of like, the shiny object that he couldn't have. So I know he's going to spend a lot of time here. And, you know, there is a lot of excitement for him in greater Minnesota. That support weakens as you get into the suburbs. And certainly, you know, it's probably almost non-existent in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Okay, so was it that much of a difference to have Biden step out and Kamala Harris step in with regard to loyal supporters and undecided voters?
Well, I mean, here's what I think. I mean, and Shaletta, you and I have talked a lot about Vice President Harris, and we probably have pretty different opinions on her. But I think the way that she, is getting to be the nominee changes everything because there is such a sense of relief amongst Democrats that it's not going to be Biden. And while I certainly think, and I said this last night on Almanac, I think Democrats are legitimately excited to have Harris in this spot. And it's not the Republicans' job to be able to say, oh, you should be so upset about the process. I mean, I think you should be, but, you know, Democrats get to decide that, not Republicans. So I think because their odds of being able to defeat Trump are so much better with Harris, that a lot of the issues that that she would have had if she would have gone through a normal process, you know, the amount of black people that she put in jail in California, you know, where she is on Palestine, you know, some of the other things, I think that would have come out more in a regular primary, where a Gretchen Whitmer or a Gavin Newsom would, who was actually her good friend, so I don't know if he would have done this, but they would have been able to highlight that, and then Democrats would have been able to decide, you know, is she, you know, the next coming of Obama, or is she the person that they rejected in 2020? So, but all of that is kind of like for, you know, those of us in the political sphere to worry about. Real people. Just see somebody who is not an obvious 81-year-old man in a state of decline. And I think that Donald Trump maybe did his victory lap a little early, and I think that he chose J.D. Vance as his running mate because that was comfortable for him. It was going to be somebody who isn't going to outshine him, but is going to be extremely loyal to him. Whereas a Nikki Haley or somebody who had more broad appeal isn't necessarily a loyal Trump person. Now, a Nikki Haley would do him a lot of good right now. With Harris at the top of the DFL, the Democrat ticket, but that's not where Trump finds himself, and he's going to have to, you know, be nimble and change his tactics now. And, you know, it's
but can he do that? Because he's known for just doing Trump. He's known for just doing him. Just last night, he was telling, you know, the Christian folks he was talking to, just vote now and you never have to worry about voting again, as if he's about to change democracy, as if we're about to have some kind of authoritarian dictatorship. You know, and those, you know, statements are not just Trump being Trump, which is what people want to say. Oh, it's just Trump being Trump. You know, those are dog whistles to these people, the same people who were not going on a tour, but we're trying to overthrow the government on January the 6th. Those people, that's a call and a rally and a cry to those people that we can do this. We can change the whole way this country works. If you just vote for me, you don't ever have to vote again. That's some very dangerous rhetoric to be putting out there in the atmosphere for these folks.
Now, you know, Shalette, I've been on your show lots of times, and people have heard me be complimentary of Donald Trump probably exactly zero times. So I am not somebody, even though I come from the Republican end of the spectrum, who is a fan of the former president. When I look at his entire remarks to, you know, to, talking about, you know, you're not going to have to vote again, I mean, they're ridiculous. If you listen to him, he's like, oh, I love you, Christians. I love Christians. You know, why anyone believes that what he says is anything other than disingenuous is shocking to me. I don't think he was saying that we're never going to have to vote again. I think he was saying, give me four more years and I'll fix everything. It's just important that you vote now. Now, that aside, it's kind of a dumb thing to say, and I am somebody who is such a believer in the Constitution. He can say any dumb thing he wants, and it doesn't mean that the Constitution allows it. We've had Vietnam, we've had the Civil Rights, we've had, you know, assassinations. We have had all kinds of things that have tested our democracy. And, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt actually putting people in camps. But somehow we get through it. So I'm not willing to say that one person, even this person, has the kind of popularity and sway to do something like that. But these are the things he says that are so undisciplined that make him a bad candidate. And when President Biden was obviously failing, he showed some discipline. And I think that made him a scary candidate, because a disciplined Trump can do very well. An undisciplined mm-hmm. Trump, it does not, especially against Kamala Harris, does not do himself any favors.
Okay, we got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, I am I'm offended and I am upset about some of the talking points, some of the rhetoric, some of the insults that some folks are making. And I'm looking at and I've got some folks out there in St. Cloud who are, you know, just in the line that I know and love. And they're taking pictures and they're sending them back to me. And there's a shirt that folks are wearing. And the shirt says, "Say no to the hoe. Vote Trump." Is this where we are in politics in the year of our Lord 2024? I'm going to ask my friend Brian about that after the break. It's an absolutely lovely day. It is 1:21. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I tell you, I love this politics. Oh my God, I love it. It's so dramatic. It's like who shot JR? It's just, it's Dallas. You know, it's 1980s. It's dynasty. It's amazing. You know, Joe Biden's running, and unless Jesus comes back and tells him that, you know, he needs to drop out of the race, he's not dropping off. And apparently Nancy Pelosi's Jesus, because she goes and talks to him, and the next thing you know, he's dropping out. Then Kamala steps in, and she's got folks that she needs to pick. And one of them may be our very own Governor Tim Walz. And, you know, Trump and J.D. Vance are in Minnesota today, and folks are already lining up. And I don't know, Brian, I don't know if I'm more excited about the drama or the politics, or it's just, it's made for, it's must-see TV right now.
Well, the only difference is that when we were young and people were interested in who shot JR for a long time. People were interested in who shot Donald Trump for about a week and a half.
So maybe not even the half. Yeah. We didn't even dig down the hole to find out the man's name. We didn't talk to his family. We just moved right on. We just kept going.
And for the millennials and Gen Zers, spoiler alert, JR was shot by Sue Ellen's sister, Kristen. But but she, you know, she's in the pool. She's dead. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
It's okay. I mean, next week the aliens are going to come. I don't know. I mean, every week there is something of major historical significance that kind of undoes everything that happens the week before. Our heads are spinning, but I think probably more what's happening is we're just getting desensitized to it all, and that's a sad thing, because you know what's happening now is extraordinarily important, not just in the moment, but historically, and people are just they're turning it off, they're shutting it out, and we're devolving as a society, and that's distressing.
And you know, my friend Fanshawn Good, she doesn't even watch the news anymore. She's like, when it's time to vote, I'm going to go vote. I'm going to pick my candidate. You know, I'll read what I want to read, but I can't take it anymore. You know, our heads are spinning. It's on a swivel. You know, Joe Biden drops out. Kamala's in the race. Trump gets shot. You know, it's so much. Tim Walz is on every major news outlet in the country, you know, as a possible running mate for vice president on the Democratic team. It's a lot to take in. You know, Trump is in town, and you talk about desensitizing and the insults, Brian, that are coming out that are not, you know, it's not a debate. It's not a talking point. It is an insult. It is derogatory. Some of the messaging that's out there, I am just shocked and appalled that, you know, we are in a situation where they're letting it slide. I don't know if you remember, but when John McCain and Barack Obama were at a debate, and this woman got up and she said, you know, well, I don't know, is he Muslim? And she starts, you know, going down this rabbit hole of conspiracy theorist rhetoric. And John McCain grabbed the mic and he said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. He is a decent man. He is a Christian man. He has a family. You know, he has two children. No, ma'am. We're not going to do that. And he did not allow that to happen. And what they're allowing to happen right now, Brian, is having an impact, not just on what they're saying about Kamala Harris, but as a black woman, I take offense to this. Now, they're lined up in St. Cloud right now. You know, we just left St. Cloud this week because Andrew's going to St. Cloud State University. Everybody was excited about the new business and the people and the hotels and the foot traffic and all that. And I'm all for that. And I don't care who you vote for. That's your choice as long as you get out there and vote. But when you start insulting people based on race, based on, you know, gender, then, you know, somebody in the party has to draw a line. And so the thing that got my head spinning this morning, some photos that I got from folks who are already lined up to get into the building at 3 o'clock. They started lining up at 8 o'clock this morning in St. Cloud to get into the arena to see former President Donald Trump was this shirt, Brian. And I'm going to send you a picture of it because it freaked me out. It tripped me out and it got me mad as hell. Like, I want to get in my car and go to St. Cloud and have a conversation and a misunderstanding with the person who's holding and or wearing a shirt. But it says, say no to the hope. And it has Kamala Harris's picture on the shirt. And it says, vote Trump 2024.
Well, first of all, and you know, I don't want to get canceled for this, but we all know the most offensive thing about Barack Obama is that he was a Chicago White Sox fan. That is unforgivable for a Chicago Cubs fan here. But and of course, what they're referencing is purportedly there was a relationship between Kamala Harris and the mayor of San Francisco that led to her political career and all that. Here's the thing: all of these people have a past, but what you can't do is ignore your candidate's past and then highlight the other candidate, because you know Donald Trump, what he did, what he didn't do, certainly does not make him any kind of choir boy, and certainly doesn't make it okay to say, well, Donald Trump, all that stuff either didn't happen or happened so long ago that we don't care. But all the stuff that happened so long ago with Kamala Harris, well, that's somehow politically relevant. And what we've lost as a society, Shaletta, and I have no doubt that you will 100% agree with me, is that if you and I were to wear a shirt like that, we would have had a mom or a grandma that would have gone upside our head.
Yes.
What in the world? Whether you think Kamala Harris is the worst person on the planet, and somebody might think that, but what in the world makes you put that shirt on with pride and say, you know what? I'm a good person.
Right.
I'm a better person than other people. It's unbecoming, and it's something that, as a civilized society, this isn't, I mean, on Monday, Shaletta, I'm going to wrestling at the Excel Center. And we're all going to hoot and holler and shout about all kinds of stuff. That's not real life. And it certainly should not be something as important and dignified as the presidency of the United States. If you don't like Kamala Harris, there are a list of things you can talk about that are fair game. But just like, what's the point? It's being mean to be mean, because nobody is walking around saying, I was going to vote for Kamala Harris until I saw that faux shirt, and then that made me change my opinion. It's not political discourse. It's just feeling like you can get away with being a jerk. I'm saying jerk because we're on the radio.
But, please, thank you.
It's something that, you know, It's existed for a long time, obviously was amplified by Donald Trump and how he kind of chooses to speak about his his friends and enemies. But it is something that I think we need to people need to be disciplined in their own lives and be worried about how they are conducting themselves. The people that went on Twitter after President Trump got shot,
saying, you know, too bad it missed. Well, they ended up losing jobs. And
yeah.
stuff like this, you know, you can, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, they don't know who you are. They don't care what you're doing. And they're not going to sweep in and protect you when you do something that affects your real life. And
yeah.
you should be offended by it. We all should be offended by it. And the rhetoric of everyone's a Nazi or everyone's a hoe or everyone's this or that, it needs to stop because it is hurting us as humans. Have some empathy and some understanding and use your brain. Vote yes or no on these candidates on the job they will do as president, not as something that you read on Wikipedia 5 minutes ago that has now, you know, defined your life.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about, you know, having Chad Hartman here at the station is whenever I go on the radio and he's, you know, over there in charge of the text line, you know, he tells people, you don't be insulted. You know, you can argue with someone on principle. You cannot agree with what she agrees with. You cannot agree with, you know, her, you know, what she just said. But if you're calling her name based on her race, or you sexualizing her because she's a black woman, then you're going to get blocked. And we're not blocking people enough. We're not, you know, somebody's not tapping somebody on the shoulder enough and saying that shirt is wrong. That's not what we do here at this rally. Somebody needs to stand up and be a John McCain and says, no, no, ma'am. We're not having it. Okay, now listen, Brian, I know you got to go, but I want you to stick around for one more quick segment because I got to get your take and find out if you think Tim Walz is going to be the vice presidential candidate for the Democratic ticket. That's big news. That's my big homie. We'll be right back on this big show on CCO. You heard me giving those temperatures. It's heating up in Minnesota, and it's heating up with this vice presidential candidate, you know, run. Everybody's trying to figure out, is it going to be Kelly? Is it going to be Walz? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Gretchen? Is she going to pick a white man or a white woman? Is Cory Booker going to come out of nowhere and say, ta-da, surprise, I'm here? Ooh, Brian. Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, political expert. You saw him last night on Almanac. He's always on Tom Hauser's At Issue. He's here with us today talking about all things politics. All eyes are on Minnesota. Brian, does Tim Walz have a shot?
I think he does. I actually will be on Tom Hauser's show tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. But, you know, a week ago, I would have said, or, you know, whenever, I can't even remember, whenever Kamala Harris became the presumptive nominee, I would have said that Walz would be on the list, but not at the top of the list. It sounds like, you know, you can only trust what you hear so much, but that she has a list down to three. And that Governor Walz is on that list. It's Senator West out of Arizona, the astronaut, who's I think Gabby Gifford's husband. And then Governor Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. Now I think Shapiro makes sense in that it's a swing state where Minnesota probably is not, but Shapiro has, you know, very strong statements that he's made on Palestine, which is something that a lot of progressive voters don't have any chill on. Arizona with Senator West, you know, if he became the vice president, well, his Senate seat would be vulnerable and the Democrats might not want to do that. So if all of a sudden we're kind of crossing people off the list, well, Tim Walz, even though he's not in a swing state, you know, he, you know, looks as Midwestern as you can be and maybe doesn't have some of the baggage other than, you know, kind of this fraud stuff that's going on. He doesn't have the baggage that some of the other candidates have. So kind of a little bit to my surprise, and I know he's on your show soon, so I hope he's not listening yet, but a little bit to my surprise, I think he is, you know, certainly in the mix. And whereas a while ago I would have been surprised if he was picked, if they announced it, you know, in half an hour, because, you know, that's what happens when I'm on your show, big things happen.
Yeah, stuff happens.
If they picked him, I guess at this point we shouldn't be surprised. And then we have to turn inward as to what that means, you know, for the state of Minnesota. But that's probably a different conversation for a different day.
Well, I know I can always call you any day to come on my show. Governor Walz is up next. I have to tell you, Brian, after him going viral and all the young people just falling in love with him and calling him everybody's favorite uncle, anything at this point is possible. So I'll be talking to him about that. Thank you for talking with me, Brian.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
All right. You as well. Okay. The lines are already long out in St. Cloud, where former President Donald Trump will be speaking later this evening. These people start lining up at 8 o'clock this morning. I was watching the reports on Channel 4, WCCO-TV, our sister station here in town, and they were showing the live shot was showing the line, and it was already long. People were excited. They were happy. They were festive. You know, they were talking to them, and they couldn't wait for the doors. Don't even open until 3. But they, you know, some people wanted to be the first ones in line and the first to get in there. The crowd is electric and everybody is excited who's there, who's lined up to see former President Donald Trump. His running mate, vice presidential candidate, who's been, you know, very controversial this week with some of the statements that he's made about women. J.D. Vance is at a private fundraising event, both in Minnesota today. They say they can flip this state and turn it red. I need to find out from an expert if he thinks that's possible. And so the person that I go to and call on for political advice and who's been on this show several times, a friend of mine, Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, is joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. So, Brian, you know, what are the odds? KSTP's poll just came out yesterday, puts Kamala Harris 10 points ahead of Donald Trump, but he is here today drumming up support.
First of all, Shaletta, thanks for having me on. Last time I was on your show, somebody tried to assassinate Trump, so I'm a little nervous about saying too much in case there's any correlation there. But I mean,
it was moments after you were on the show. It was like we got off the line, and the next thing you know, we got breaking news.
Yeah, pretty much everything we said out the door after that.
Out the door. Out the door.
Out the door. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think that if President Biden would have stayed in the race, I do think Minnesota was very much in play for Trump and Vance in 2016. When Hillary Clinton was the Democrat, you know, Trump came extremely close to winning Minnesota with spending almost no time here. I do think that the substitution of Vice President Harris makes Minnesota more out of reach for the Republicans, but I know that Minnesota is something that Donald Trump always saw as a little bit of like, you know, the shiny object that he couldn't have. So I know he's going to spend a lot of time here, and you know, there is a lot of excitement for him in Greater Minnesota. You know, that support weakens as you get into the suburbs, and certainly, you know, it's probably almost non-existent in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Okay, so was it that much of a difference to have Biden step out and Kamala Harris step in with regard to loyal supporters and undecided voters?
Well, I mean, here's what I think. I mean, and you know, Shaletta, you and I have talked a lot about Vice President Harris, and you know, we probably have pretty different opinions on her. But I think the way that she, is getting to be the nominee changes everything because there is such a sense of relief amongst Democrats that it's not going to be Biden. And while I certainly think, and I said this last night on Almanac, I think Democrats are legitimately excited to have Harris in this spot. And it's not the Republicans' job to be able to say, oh, you should be so upset about the process. I mean, I think you should be, but, you know, Democrats get to decide that, not Republicans. So I think because their odds of being able to defeat Trump are so much better with Harris that a lot of the issues that that she would have had if she would have gone through a normal process, you know, the amount of black people that she put in jail in California, you know, where she is on Palestine, you know, some of the other things, I think that would have come out more in a regular primary, where a Gretchen Whitmer or a Gavin Newsom, who was actually her good friend, so I don't know if he would have done this, but they would have been able to highlight that, and then Democrats would have been able to decide, you know, is she, you know, the next coming of Obama, or is she the person that they rejected in 2020? So, but all of that is kind of like for, you know, those of us in the political sphere to worry about. Real people just see somebody who is not an obvious 81-year-old man in a state of decline. And I think that Donald Trump maybe did his victory lap a little early. Mm-hmm. And I think that he chose J.D. Vance as his running mate because that was comfortable for him. It was going to be somebody who isn't going to outshine him, but is going to be extremely loyal to him. Whereas a Nikki Haley or somebody who had more broad appeal isn't necessarily a loyal Trump person. Now, mm-hmm. a Nikki Haley would do him a lot of good right now. With Harris at the top of the DFL, the Democrat ticket. But that's not where Trump finds himself, and he's going to have to, you know, be nimble and change his tactics now. And, you know, it's
but
early.
Can he do that? Because he's known for just doing Trump. He's known for just doing him. Just last night, he was telling, you know, the Christian folks he was talking to, just vote now and you never have to worry about voting again, as if he's about to change democracy, as if we're about to have some kind of authoritarian dictatorship. You know, and those, you know, statements are not just Trump being Trump, which is what people want to say. Oh, it's just Trump being Trump. You know, those are dog whistles to these people, the same people who were not going on a tour, but we're trying to overthrow the government on January the 6th. Those people, that's a call and a rally and a cry to those people that we can do this. We can change the whole way this country works. If you just vote for me, you don't ever have to vote again. That's some very dangerous rhetoric to be putting out there in the atmosphere for these folks.
Now, you know, Shalette, I've been on your show lots of times, and people have heard me be complimentary of Donald Trump probably exactly zero times. So I am not somebody, even though I come from the Republican end of the spectrum, who is a fan of the former president. When I look at his entire remarks to, you know, talking about, you know, you're not going to have to vote again, I mean, they're ridiculous. If you listen to him, he's like, "Oh, I love you, Christians. I love Christians." You know, why anyone believes that what he says is anything other than disingenuous is shocking to me. I don't think he was saying that we're never going to have to vote again. I think he was saying, "Give me four more years, and I'll fix everything. It's just important that you vote now." Now, that aside, it's kind of a dumb thing to say, and I am somebody who is such a believer in the Constitution. He can say any dumb thing he wants, and it doesn't mean that the Constitution allows it. We've had Vietnam, we've had the Civil Rights, we've had, you know, assassinations. We have had all kinds of things that have tested our democracy. And, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt actually putting people in camps. But somehow we get through it. So I'm not willing to say that one person, even this person, has the kind of popularity and sway to do something like that. But these are the things he says that are so undisciplined that make him a bad candidate. And you know when President Biden was obviously failing, he showed some discipline, and I think that made him a scary candidate, because a disciplined Trump can do very well. An undisciplined mm-hmm. Trump, it does not, especially against Kamala Harris, does not do himself any favors.
Okay, we got to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I am I'm offended and I am upset about some of the talking points, some of the rhetoric, some of the insults that some folks are making. And I'm looking at and I've got some folks out there in St. Cloud who are, you know, just in the line that I know and love, and they're taking pictures and they're sending them back to me. And there's a shirt that folks are wearing. And the shirt says, "Say no to the hoe. Vote Trump." Is this where we are in politics in the year of our Lord 2024? I'm going to ask my friend Brian about that after the break. It's an absolutely lovely day. It is 1:21. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I tell you, I love this politics. Oh my God, I love it. It's so dramatic. It's like, who shot JR? It's just, it's Dallas. You know, it's 1980s. It's dynasty. It's amazing. You know, Joe Biden's running, and unless Jesus comes back and tells him that, you know, he needs to drop out of the race, he's not dropping off. And apparently Nancy Pelosi's Jesus, because she goes and talks to him, and the next thing you know, he's dropping out. Then Kamala steps in, and she's got folks that she needs to pick. And one of them may be our very own Governor Tim Walz. And, you know, Trump and J.D. Vance are in Minnesota today, and folks are already lining up. And I don't know, Brian, I don't know if I'm more excited about the drama or the politics, or it's just, it's made for, it's must-see TV right now.
Well, the only difference is that when we were young and people were interested in who shot JR for a long time. People were interested in who shot Donald Trump for about a week and a half.
So maybe not even the half. Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
We're not even.
We didn't even dig down the hole to find out the man's name. We didn't talk to his family. We just moved right on. We just kept going.
And for the millennials and Gen Zers, spoiler alert, JR was shot by Sue Ellen's sister, Kristen. But
yes.
But she's in the pool. She's dead. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
It's good. I mean, next week the aliens are going to come. I don't know. I mean, every week there is something of major historical significance that kind of undoes everything that happens the week before. Our heads are spinning, but I think probably more what's happening is we're just getting desensitized to it all, and
yeah.
That's a sad thing, because you know what's happening now is extraordinarily important, not just in the moment, but historically, and people are just they're turning it off, they're shutting it out,
yeah.
And we're devolving as a society, and that's distressing.
And you know, my friend Fanshawn Good, she doesn't even watch the news anymore. She's like, when it's time to vote, I'm going to go vote. I'm going to pick my candidate. You know, I'll read what I want to read, but I can't take it anymore. You know, our heads are spinning. It's on a swivel. You know, Joe Biden drops out. Kamala's in the race. Trump gets shot. You know, it's so much. Tim Walz is on every major news outlet in the country, you know, as a possible running mate for vice president on the Democratic ticket. It's a lot to take in. You know, Trump is in town, and you talk about desensitizing and the insults, Brian, that are coming out that are not, you know, it's not a debate. It's not a talking point. It is an insult. It is derogatory. Some of the messaging that's out there, I am just shocked and appalled that, you know, we are in a situation where they're letting it slide. I don't know if you remember, but when John McCain and Barack Obama were at a debate, and this woman got up and she said, you know, well, I don't know, is he Muslim? And she starts, you know, going down this rabbit hole of conspiracy theorist rhetoric, and John McCain grabbed the mic and he said, no ma'am, he is a decent man, he is a Christian man, he has a family, you know, he has two children, no ma'am, we're not going to do that. And he did not allow that to happen. And what they're allowing to happen right now, Brian, is having an impact not just on what they're saying about Kamala Harris, but as a black woman, I take offense to this. Now, they're lined up in St. Cloud right now. You know, we just left St. Cloud this week because Andrew's going to St. Cloud State University. Everybody was excited about the new business and the people and the hotels and the foot traffic and all that. And I'm all for that. And I don't care who you vote for. That's your choice as long as you get out there and vote. But when you start insulting people based on race, based on, you know, gender, then, you know, somebody in the party has to draw a line. And so the thing that got my head spinning this morning, some photos that I got from folks who are already lined up to get into the building at 3 o'clock. They started lining up at 8 o'clock this morning in St. Cloud to get into the arena to see former President Donald Trump was this shirt, Brian. And I'm going to send you a picture of it because it freaked me out. It tripped me out and it got me mad as hell. Like, I want to get in my car and go to St. Cloud and have a conversation and a misunderstanding with the person who's holding and or wearing a shirt. But it says, say no to the hope. And it has Kamala Harris's picture on the shirt. And it says, vote Trump 2024.
Well, first of all, and you know, I don't want to get canceled for this, but we all know the most offensive thing about Barack Obama is that he was a Chicago White Sox fan. That is unforgivable for a Chicago Cubs fan here. But and of course, what they're referencing is purportedly there was a relationship between Kamala Harris and the mayor of San Francisco that led to her political career and all that. Here's the thing: all of these people have a past, but what you can't do is ignore your candidate's past and then highlight the other candidate, because you know Donald Trump, what he did, what he didn't do, certainly does not make him any kind of choir boy, and certainly doesn't make it okay to say, well, Donald Trump, all that stuff either didn't happen or happened so long ago that we don't care. But all the stuff that happened so long ago with Kamala Harris, well, that's somehow politically relevant. And what we've lost as a society, Shaletta, and I have no doubt that you will 100% agree with me, is that if you and I were to wear a shirt like that, we would have had a mom or a grandma that would have gone upside our head.
Yes.
What in the world? Whether you think Kamala Harris is the worst person on the planet, and somebody might think that, but what in the world makes you put that shirt on with pride and say, you know what? I'm a good person.
Right.
I'm a better person than other people. It's unbecoming. And it's something that as a civilized society, this isn't, I mean, on Monday, Shaletta, I'm going to wrestling at the Excel Center. And we're all going to hoot and holler and shout about all kinds of stuff. That's not real life. And it certainly should not be something as important and dignified as the presidency of the United States. If you don't like Kamala Harris, there are a list of things you can talk about that are fair game. But just like, what's the point? It's being mean to be mean, because nobody is walking around saying, I was going to vote for Kamala Harris until I saw that faux shirt, and then that made me change my opinion. It's not political discourse. It's just feeling like you can get away with being a jerk. I'm saying jerk because we're on the radio.
But, please, thank you.
It's something that, you know, it's existed for a long time, obviously was amplified by Donald Trump and how he kind of chooses to speak about his his friends and enemies. But it is something that I think we need to people need to be disciplined in their own lives and be worried about how they are conducting themselves. The people that went on Twitter after President Trump got shot, saying, you know, too bad it missed. Well, they ended up losing jobs and stuff like this. You know, you can, you know, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, they don't know who you are. They don't care what you're doing, and they're not going to sweep in and protect you when you do something that affects your real life. And you should be offended by it. We all should be offended by it. And the rhetoric of everyone's a Nazi or everyone's a hoe,
or everyone's this or that. It needs to stop because it is hurting us as humans. Have some empathy and some understanding and use your brain. Vote yes or no on these candidates on the job they will do as president, not as something that you read on Wikipedia 5 minutes ago that has now, you know, defined your life.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I appreciate about, you know, having Chad Hartman here at the station is whenever I go on the radio and he's, you know, over there in charge of the text line, you know, he tells people, you don't be insulted. You know, you can argue with someone on principle. You cannot agree with what she agrees with. You cannot agree with, you know, her, you know, what she just said. But if you're calling her name based on her race or you're sexualizing her because she's a black woman, then you're going to get blocked. And we're not blocking people enough. We're not, you know, somebody's not tapping somebody on the shoulder enough and saying that shirt is wrong. That's not what we do here at this rally. Somebody needs to stand up and be a John McCain and says, no, no, ma'am. We're not having it. Okay, now listen, Brian, I know you got to go, but I want you to stick around for one more quick segment because I got to get your take and find out if you think Tim Walz is going to be the vice presidential candidate for the Democratic ticket. That's big news. That's my big homie. We'll be right back on this big show on CCO. You heard me, given those temperatures, it's heating up in Minnesota and it's heating up with this vice presidential candidate, you know, run. Everybody's trying to figure out, is it going to be Kelly? Is it going to be Walz? Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Gretchen? Is she going to pick a white man or a white woman? Is Cory Booker going to come out of nowhere and say, ta-da, surprise, I'm here? Who, Brian? Brian McDaniel with Hilden Advocacy and Law, political expert. You saw him last night on Almanac. He's always on Tom Hauser's Ed Issue. He's here with us today talking about all things politics. All eyes are on Minnesota. Brian, does Tim Walz have a shot?
I think he does. I actually will be on Tom Hauser's show tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. But, you know, a week ago, I would have said, or, you know, whenever, I can't even remember, whenever Kamala Harris became the presumptive nominee, I would have said that Walz would be on the list, but not at the top of the list. It sounds like, and, you know, you can only trust what you hear so much, but that she has a list down to three. And that Governor Walz is on that list. It's Senator West out of Arizona, the astronaut, who's I think Gabby Gifford's husband. And then Governor Shapiro out of Pennsylvania. Now I think Shapiro makes sense in that it's a swing state where Minnesota probably is not. But Shapiro has, you know, very strong statements that he's made on Palestine, which is something that a lot of progressive voters don't have any chill on. Arizona with Senator West, you know, if he became the vice president, well, his Senate seat would be vulnerable, and the Democrats might not want to do that. So if all of a sudden we're kind of crossing people off the list, well, Tim Walz, even though he's not in a swing state, you know, he, you know, looks as Midwestern as you can be and maybe doesn't have some of the baggage other than, you know, kind of this fraud stuff that's going on. He doesn't have the baggage that some of the other candidates have. So kind of a little bit to my surprise, and I know he's on your show soon, so I hope he's not listening yet, but a little bit to my surprise, I think he is, you know, certainly in the mix. And whereas a while ago I would have been surprised if he was picked, if they announced it, you know, in half an hour, because, you know, that's what happens when I'm on your show, big things happen.
Yeah, stuff happens.
If they picked him, I guess at this point we shouldn't be surprised. And then we have to turn inward as to what that means, you know, for the state of Minnesota. But that's probably a different conversation for a different day.
Well, I know I can always call you any day to come on my show. Governor Walz is up next. I have to tell you, Brian, after him going viral and all the young people just falling in love with him and calling him everybody's favorite uncle, anything at this point is possible. So I'll be talking to him about that. Thank you for talking with me, Brian.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
All right, you as well.